Aboard the Mithraeum, Harrowhark Nonagenissimus awaits certain death. Despite her title as the newest Lykdor, a saint to the Emperor Undying, she knows she's fatally incomplete. As herald creatures slam against the station's hull, she cocoons herself in bone shields, knowing they'll dissolve when she enters the river, the liminal space between life and death. Unlike the other immortal Lykdors, she'll be dead within half an hour. Harrow's perspective fractures between past and present, reality and delusion. Her supernatural senses detect 708 hearts aboard the ship while she struggles to maintain consciousness. The Emperor notes her wasted state as she repeatedly vomits, trying to wield a sword that utterly rejects her touch. Born through her parents' sacrifice of 200 children to create a necromantic prodigy, Harrow exists in a perpetual state of confusion, haunted by her original sin and by visitations from the body, a beautiful corpse from the locked tomb that now follows her through the station's shadowed corridors. The Mithraeum serves as both sanctuary and prison for the Emperor's immoral servants. Here, Harrow meets her fellow Lykdors, Augustine, saint of patience, Mercymorn, saint of joy, despite her perpetual bitterness, and Ordis, saint of duty, who inexplicably tries to kill her 14 times. Each carries 10,000 years of history, power, and secrets.
The resurrection beasts always know where I am, the Emperor reveals to Harrow. They hunt whoever has committed the indelible sin, becoming a lictor. Lictorhood requires a necromancer to consume their cavalier's soul, preserving their essence while killing them. This union grants immortality and tremendous power, the ability to regenerate and wield Thanorgy with unprecedented control. Yet Harrow's lictorhood is broken. She can't properly use her cavalier's sword, heals slowly, and becomes defenseless in the river. Her false memories hide something more painful than giving himself with a numb readiness that still burned her with shame. The novel questions necromancy's ethics. The lictoral process represents a fundamental moral compromise. When Mercymorn claimed there was no alternative, Cytheria countered, "We had the choice to stop." The Emperor's horror lies in his resurrection. His particles reassemble through a connection to Dominicus, the system's son. Augustine was right. Dominicus draws power from the Emperor. His death would collapse the star, dooming all nine houses. Harrow's mind retreats into an alternate past where Ordis, not Gideon Nav, was her cavalier at Canaan House. In this false reality, she investigates murders alongside characters who died in the original timeline. The fabrication shows obvious flaws, changing notes, shifting rooms, and erratic time loops. "I really think you should consider the idea that you might also be haunted," Abigail Pence tells her, revealing Harrow hasn't merely experienced psychosis, but created an elaborate false reality to erase someone vital. Physical symptoms betray the truth. Every mention of Gideon triggers severe reactions. Blood from her ears or nose, migraines, blindness, all manifestations of her mind's defense mechanisms. Nav had a fractured kneecap and broken humerus, Harrow finally admits. She pierced her heart on a railing because she thought I would use her to become a lictor. This confession reveals her core trauma, not just grief over Gideon's sacrifice, but guilt that her incomplete lictorhood dishonors that sacrifice. While Harrow battles her fractured psyche, a conspiracy unfolds. The Emperor shows her hundreds of preserved bodies, her renewed house, a gift masking manipulation. The Lictor's apparent devotion hides millennia of resentment. Harrow follows Ordis I, finding him wounded by the supposedly dead Cytheria. The plot culminates before the Emperor's murder. Cytheria, possessed by Commander Wake's spirit, exposes Mercymorn and Augustine's betrayal. They created Gideon Nav specifically to bypass the Blood Ward protecting the locked tomb. "Hi, not fucking dead. I'm Dad," the Emperor says upon seeing Gideon, a joke with devastating implications. The Lictors accuse the Emperor of concealing Lictorhood's true nature. Their evidence points to Alecto, the tomb's occupant, who achieved perfect Lictorhood with the Emperor, a synthesis where neither had to die, marked by exchanged eyes. This perfect union was denied to all other Lictors, forcing unnecessary cavalier sacrifices for millennia. Harrow is haunted by the body, the beautiful corpse she discovered in the locked tomb as a teenager. This silent companion follows her through the Mithraeum, appearing as both guardian and ghost, providing comfort and visiting her dreams with increasing frequency. When Harrow questions God about who lies in the tomb, he simply calls it a monster. Yet this supposed monster shows Harrow remarkable tenderness, turning her face from disturbing sights and cooling her feverish brow. In dreams, the body finally speaks. "You are walking down a long passage. You need to turn around," warning that Harrow must reverse something fundamental she's done to herself. The body is likely Alecto, the Emperor's original cavalier, whom he switched off rather than killed. The Lictors theorize they achieved perfect Lictorhood where neither had to die. This reveals the truth of the Ninth House. For 10 millennia, they've guarded not a holy relic, but the Emperor's sleeping cavalier, a monster in a human suit. When first submerged in the river aboard the Emperor's shuttle, Harrow witnesses its horrors, corpses slamming against the viewing panel amid floating flesh. Most terrifying is seeing ghosts of the 200 Ninth House children her parents sacrificed to create her, a manifestation of her guilt. The river is where Lictors battle resurrection beasts, massive entities that can only be truly defeated by being pushed into the stoma, the mouth to hell at the river's bottom. At the novel's climax, Number 7's heralds arrive at the Mithraeum. These beast extensions create overwhelming fear, a petroleum smell with sweet undertones, racing hearts, and hallucinations of crawling skin. While Iantha screams over the calm, Harrowhark walks to her death like a lover through sheer willpower. After the Emperor resurrects and murders Mercymorn, he plunges the entire Mithraeum into the river. As the station sinks toward the stoma, Augustine battles the Emperor, while Harrow's consciousness finds itself in a cave lit by luminescent worms, the locked tomb shore, where she discovers the body is gone, but Gideon's possessions remain. The novel's shocking twist reveals Gideon Nav's consciousness awakening with Harrow's body after she's stabbed with her rapier. Gideon takes control, seeing her amber eyes in Harrow's face, a fusion of identities. This reframes Harrow's condition. She didn't fail at Lictorhood, she deliberately refused to consume Gideon's soul, preserving it within herself. This act of love left her vulnerable while maintaining Gideon's separate identity. The epilogue hints at further transformation. 6 months after the Emperor's murder, a young woman lives in hiding, handling bones by day and practicing swordplay by night. When she asks who she is, Camilla always answers, "Not yet," suggesting a merging of Harrow and Gideon into something new. Harrow's choice represents rejection of the Lictorial system, choosing love over power. They represent something unique, souls coexisting rather than consuming each other, showing that preservation through love offers a different kind of immortality.